This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You better think about the consequences of your actions.
Welcome back. It's the second hour of the show. Southern New England Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI. Nick Coit and Scott Cordishy with you. A lot of great calls and texts this morning, so thank you for that. We've been talking a lot about the Paw Sox, but let's get into the New England Patriots, and we're really happy to be joined this morning by the great Mike Reese, who covers Patriots for ESPN. You can see his work on ESPN.com as well. Good morning, Mike. Thank you for joining us.
Nick, Scott, great to talk with you. I was just actually online reading the Providence Journal and some of the Paw Sox stories. I go way back with the Paw Sox and have just great experiences going down to the stadium and, you know, first as a young reporter and then, you know, recently with family. So I've been following that story very closely.
Yeah, it's tough news for Rhode Island. It's, you know, for Worcester, it's a big opportunity and we'll see. Hopefully it has the same sort of feel. But I know, Mike, with a family, you know, it's a great place to take the kids, and it's affordable, and it's a great atmosphere. And that's why I think a lot of people are sad in Rhode Island today, you know?
And I always felt like when I went down there, it was a reminder of, like, well, things change over the years. You know, like, you still have the sort of charm, and it was like an older sort of, it reminded me, like, hey, well, things change, you know, like, you can still keep some traditions, you know, and you know, the way people would, you know, get the autographs, that sort of hang things over the sidewall there, you know, as players came by, and you know, it was like old, but it was charming, and the people there, you know,
people.
That's what I always remember. The people with the team, mm-hmm. you know, were special, and they remembered you. You came once, and they like remembered you the next time you came.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, sort of. That's a tough one. That's a sad one. And I do wonder if it, you know, is this finality? Because I remember covering the Patriots when they were considering going to Hartford back in the late 90s, and obviously that one never went through. But this one seems to be a little further down the line than that situation was.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see where it goes in terms of the city council with Worcester and whatever. But that was a point that Scott made earlier in the show, Mike, was you're right. You know, they had a press conference in Hartford and seemed like things were going there, and then all of a sudden, you know, here comes what, CMGI Field or whatever the heck it
right.
was before Gillette Stadium.
Yep.
So, yeah, interesting. Interesting. So, Mike, Patriots now two preseason games down, two to go. I guess so far, your initial impressions of camp, everybody is seemed to be saying down there in terms of the camp workload and everything, it's been kind of a different camp, a lighter camp maybe for the players. What's been your impression of camp in these first few weeks of the Patriots season?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned it because, you know, that seems to be the opinion of many covering the team. I thought it was interesting listening to Bill Belichick last week on his interview on EEI up in Boston. And he said, you know, our workload's the same. You know, I whenever he sort of contests a public narrative, I always take note of it just because he generally doesn't do that, you know. And I think he disagrees with the perception that the camp has been lighter. What I would say is from a conditioning standpoint, it has been hot, it has been humid, and I know from his perspective, he always wants to get the team in good physical condition, and I think they've certainly had the opportunity to do that. Where the nuance in the discussion might be is the workload might be down specifically for Tom Brady, and that's interesting because he did have a stretch of camp where he wasn't practicing regularly as he managed a little bit of a sore back. But as we saw on Thursday night against the Eagles, I think the back's going to be just fine.
Good point, Mike. Very good point. You know, one of the interesting battles seems to be for that power running back spot. And you've got obviously, you know, Mike Gillisley is the guy that was the incumbent, and then they bring in Jeremy Hill there in the offseason. And you don't want to make too much of the first two preseason games, but I think a lot of people believe after the first two preseason games, maybe Jeremy Hill has the edge over Mike Gillisley. First of all, is it one or the other, in your opinion, to make the roster? And is Hill winning that battle right now with Gillisley, in your opinion?
I would say decisively, you know, that he is. And I would be surprised if Gillisley gets that spot over Hill based on what we've seen to this point. And I do think it most likely will be one or the other, and here's why. You look at the other running backs on the roster. You have Rex Burkhead. He's going to be a lock based on his contract, signed to, you know, a three-year deal this offseason, averaging almost $3 million a year. You got Sony Michel, the rookie first-round pick, currently sidelined after having some fluid drained from his knee, but he should be there for most, if not all, of the regular season. He's a lock. And then you have James White. We saw, you know, that he still has it on Thursday night. He's locked in as your passing back. So that's three spots at running back right there. You're going to have at least one more, probably two, and one of those spots you got to have some special teams value, you know, when you're talking about a fourth or fifth running back. Gillisley has a very little special teams value. Hill, a little bit more. But even on top of that, Scott, like, I just think Hill has shown more quickness to the hole, and just has shown he's just a better player right now. And Gillisley's contract calls for him to earn $2.1 million, but the Patriots, if they let him go, wouldn't have any dead money on their salary cap for doing that. And I think that economics will also play a factor in the decision-making process.
Talking with Mike Reese of ESPN. You can check out his work on ESPN.com as well. Mike, the Patriots have had such tough luck with their top draft picks. Whether you want to go back to maybe like a Dominique Easley with the injury problems he had. Last year they lose Derek Rivers with a third round choice, but their top draft pick in the class, and he goes down with an ACL tear. Now you've got Isaiah Wynn, who looks like he's going to be out for the season with a torn Achilles. How tough of a loss is it to lose Isaiah Wynn, especially with the versatility, and what's up with the tough luck with these draft picks?
And Nick, I would add two more. Cyrus Jones, their top pick from 2016, you know, struggled obviously his rookie year, but then the ACL last year. And then even Antonio Garcia, offensive tackle from last year, two picks after Derek Rivers, you know, he never played. So, you know, just a string of bad luck. You know, I think anytime you talk about injuries, there's two different ways to look at it. The first is, did you pick an injury-prone player, you know, and you were hoping for better results, and you know what, you took the risk and it didn't work out, versus, hey, look, you can't predict when an injury is going to happen, and sometimes in this physical, violent, at times, games, you're just going to have injuries. And so, like, I put Dominique Easley in the first category. He was a player that had injuries coming out of Florida, and they took a gamble, and it didn't work out. Whereas all the other ones, just bad luck, you know, and sometimes it happens that way. Specific to Wynn, very disappointing for the team, just from a standpoint of they loved his maturity, his poise. He was a leader for that rookie class just in the way he sort of handled his business. I will tell you, you know, the Patriots felt like of all the rookies they've brought in 24 years of Kraft family ownership, they were as impressed with him as any of their rookies in terms of almost feeling like he's way mature beyond his years,
wow.
You know? So they'll miss him. He was going to be a backup left tackle, maybe even a starting right tackle if Marcus Cannon wasn't healthy. So anytime you're losing depth up front, that's never a good thing at this time of year.
Mike, the wide receiver position, I think everybody understands that Brady's top three targets this season will be Gronk, Hogan, and when he comes back from his four-game suspension, Julian Edelman. Behind that, I think people are wondering how this thing's going to shake itself out. Now, we've seen some flashes, certainly Thursday night, from a guy like Cordarrelle Patterson. But then there's Eric Decker I have a question about. He was targeted twice, had a drop, no catches the other night. What have you seen from him in camp, and how do you rank his chances of making this roster?
It's really a race against time, you know, for him. He's struggling with drops, and like you said, you saw it on Thursday night, and part of it is you want to give him a little more rope, because here's a guy who came in August 3rd, You know, he's barely been here 2 weeks, and his head is spinning. This is a hard offense to come in and make an immediate impact, you know, with all the things they ask of you from a mental perspective. So he's thinking so much. He needs to just play ball. So you want to give him a little bit of time to get to that point before you make a final determination on his status on the roster. At the same time, this train is moving fast. And after this third preseason game against the Panthers coming up on Friday night, I mean, you're shifting very quickly into regular season mode. Like, Houston Texans, September 9th, here we come. Yeah, I know there's a fourth preseason game after that, but they're not going to do much in that game. And so he's got to get on board and show that he can catch the ball a little more consistently than he has. If he doesn't, you know, I would say I wouldn't be surprised either way. I could see him being a significant part of the team's plans based on his experience, but I could also see him not even making the cut if these drops continue and the team can't rely on him based on what it's seen in practice.
Mike, turning the attention to the defense, I was shooting the first half on the sidelines on Thursday night, and I watched as was Shelton Gibson made that touchdown catch near the end of the first half, and the guy covering him was Jason McCourty. And there's been a lot of talk about Jason McCourty. It's been a great story to have the two brothers together finally in New England. But so far, some of the talk has been, and watching a play like that, is that Jason McCourty may not be a lock to make this roster. What have you seen from Jason McCourty so far, and what's his status in terms of earning a spot on this team?
Well, I definitely think it's a fair discussion, because I don't view him as a lock to make the roster. Just from a general cornerback standpoint, this is the way it looks based on what we've seen. Stephon Gilmore locked in on one side, Eric Rowe, the leading candidate to start opposite him on the other side, and then in the slot, you're probably going to have Jonathan Jones, third-year player out of Auburn. And so you have those three spots, and then you're looking at backups behind them. McCourty just hasn't closed the gap on Eric Rowe, which some of us thought might be a competition. That really hasn't manifested itself. And in those backup spots, you know, you got to have special teams value. You got to have, you know, something else going for you to make the roster. Jason McCourty, one, doesn't play much on special teams. And then you got a bunch of young guys that have flashed a little bit in camp, like J.C. Jackson, like Ryan Lewis. You have your second-round pick, Duke Dawson. You know he's going to be on the roster. So I think for McCourty, you know, his chances are sort of contingent not just on his own performance, but some of those other dominoes that fall around him at the position. Definitely keep an eye on him, and don't be surprised if that goes in either direction as they sort of formulate their initial 53-man roster.
What are your thoughts on the play so far through two preseason contests of Juwan Bentley, the fifth-round draft pick? I know how hard it can be for a rookie to crack the lineup, and, you know, there's the danger if you put him out there, give him significant minutes in regular season games of mistakes being made, but he's looked pretty impressive through these first two preseason contests, hasn't he?
Incredibly encouraging for the Patriots, and that would be the one spot that you look at for them and say, in the offseason, did they do enough to address it? You know, you have Dante Hightower, Kyle Van Noy, and a Landon Roberts as your top three linebackers. And think back to the Super Bowl guys. Like, what did we see? Running backs out of the backfield, linebackers trying to cover them, and the Patriots just looked a little bit slow at the linebacker position last year. And here we are thinking maybe if they could draft a guy at that position high, you know, that it could really fix what seemed to be a big problem for them on defense, but they didn't do it. They wait till the fifth round, Juwan Bentley out of Purdue, and the scouting reports on him is that he's sort of this bigger, you know, Brandon Spikes, Ted Johnson-type Mike linebacker. And you're saying to yourself, well, they don't need a run stuffer. You know, they need a guy that can move at that position. And this might be a case where the scouting reports on Bentley coming out of Purdue didn't necessarily reflect the reality of the player. He runs better, you know, than a big hulking middle linebacker. Very encouraging for the Patriots. I think the key for him now is he's going to be on the team. Can he keep stacking days together, keep building that momentum? And he might have a significant role for them on defense early in the season.
It'll be interesting to watch him and how he develops and if he can make this roster, Mike. It'll be, yeah, he's definitely a name to watch. In terms of and my last question for you, the Super Bowl and looking back and the lack of a pass rush against the Eagles, and then the contrast to, I know it was the second preseason game, but the way they were getting after the quarterback, the Patriots defense on Thursday night, I thought it was impressive to watch, specifically Adrian Claiborne. Do you like the prospects of what the pass rush could be just looking through camp the first few weeks and then watching that preseason game on Thursday?
Well, that was my biggest takeaway from Thursday night, was if they can rush the passer like that, good things are ahead for them, because that was the problem last year in many ways on defense. If you can't pressure the quarterback and sort of put some stress on opposing offenses, it makes life so much harder for you. So they go out, they sign Adrian Claiborne. He was their big free agent signing this offseason, and he's a pass rusher. And you saw that was a starting offensive lineman that he gave fits to on Thursday night. If, you know, that's a great addition. Derek Rivers coming back after missing all last season with the torn ACL, their third-round pick from last year. He set the Youngstown State school record for sacks with 41. He can rush the passer. Keonta Davis, you saw him out there, number 58. He was at Tennessee Chattanooga, and he would have been drafted. He's a pass rusher. He had 31 sacks, I think, over his career at Tennessee Chattanooga. So breathing some of that new life into the pass rush, combined perhaps with a little bit more of an aggressive approach with Brian Flores taking over the defense from Matt Patricia, and maybe, just maybe, you don't want to draw too many conclusions from the preseason, you have a different look on defense that maybe provides some better results for you.
Couple weeks left here in the preseason. It'll be interesting to watch. Scott, you have something?
Yeah, no, I'm just going to say nobody does a better job covering the Patriots than ESPN's Mike
Gleason.
You
totally
can
agree.
Check out his work at ESPN.com. Mike, thanks so much for the time. Great stuff.
Scott and Nick, thanks for having me on. Scott, always great to catch up over the years. That's like 2.5 decades for us now. We go
That's
way
true.
Back. I love it.
That's true.
Thanks,
Thank
Mike.
I look forward to seeing you down there.
Absolutely. As always.
What Thanks, Mike's guys. Implying is
Thanks,
I'm getting
Mike.
Old.
No, you're not that old. You're old, Scott, but you're not that old.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll open up the phone lines at 401-737-1287. You can also keep sending those texts to 37937. We'll get the Patriots on the table.
Hey,
the
Scott.
The Bosshawks move to Worcester, yes.
And when we come back, I have a very funny and interesting story from the golf course that I really like to play at. There was a bit of a brawl, and somebody lost a limb. It's an interesting story.
I
yeah.
can't wait to hear it.
I just saw it. I'm like, oh, Scott's going to laugh at this. So we'll All have right. that for you.
When we come back on Southern New England Sports Saturday. On
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.